All right, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We are going to, and this is going to be the last series of messages on the spiritual warfare for a while, at least, on our Sunday evening, what we have done. Yes, Ephesians chapter 6. Armor up. Armor up. So the Apostle Paul, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, writes this, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." Now understand that when we take up the armor, we need all of it. There are not parts that we figure that we don't need. We need it all. "Take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand," when and what? "The evil day." Everybody has those times. "And having done all, to stand." So, verse 14, "Stand therefore, first of all, having your loins girt about with truth." Speaking of this, you know, that this is our patriotic Sunday, I came across a very familiar speech by Patrick Henry. And in this, he said this, "It is vain, it is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war has actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle?" Now, you know, it is true that there are things that have been going on for some time around the world. I mean, my soul, when you look at what has been going on in Central Africa, Christians have been dying by the thousands because of the Muslims there that have taken it upon themselves to just try their best to exterminate them. We have had the same situation in the Middle East now, trying to get rid of believers. But now it's coming here. And it puzzles me when we have, and now it's all over the internet now with this, this Assembly Resolution 99. It's all over the internet now what people are saying, what this is going to lead to. And now, you know, I'm looking around and I'm going, where are the pastors? Now, praise God, there are some, and we're working on others. But this is what it is all coming to. We finally got our email out this last week. We're having the Capitol prayer meeting on August 20th. But it's coming. It is absolutely coming. And I just find it sad when it doesn't register with us because they mean business. We don't. Too often we wind up not meaning business. So the fact of the matter is, just like this, the battle is here. Whether we like it or not, the battle is here. It's the same thing with truth. Go to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. A familiar passage with what Christ said, but if it's not marked in your Bible, you need to mark it. John chapter 8, look at verse 30. "As he spake these words," and we're not going to back into the words that he spoke, but the Bible says, "As he," Jesus, "spake these words, many believed on him." And then he said this, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the what? Ye shall know the truth, and then what will the truth do? It'll set you free." Now think about that. That's Christ speaking. These are not idle words. Have you ever driven down the road and you see somebody they're in such a world of hurt because of the choices that they have made? And so there's the drug paraphernalia. Whatever it might be, that's the slavery of the 21st century. I find it so sad that while there are people that are trying to choke out biblical Christianity, that the laws on immorality and drugs are becoming so more and more loose. And it's like, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. And it doesn't if you're thinking biblically. So what we have here is from Christ saying, you follow me and you will know there is something that you will know. Truth. Now, when I mention truth, we're going to be getting into this. We're not talking about something nebulous, just kind of out there, you know, wherever. That's not what is being said here. Look at this. Stop and consider. To know Christ is to know truth, and ye shall know the truth. That's why we teach. Doctrine matters. We don't teach that it's just the feeling that you have, and don't worry about reading your Bible. Just pray and look for an ecstatic feeling. That is not biblical Christianity. That is not. Biblical Christianity is being like the Berean, searching these things out to see whether or not these things are true. And that's what we do. And that's just the beginning when you realize that He is Savior. Now He is the one who sanctifies me. He sets me apart. He furnishes me with gifts. He tells me not only where to work, but also how I can do it. And I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, if that bores us, we've got a problem. He says, ye shall know the truth. You know Christ, you know truth. To know truth is to know its impact. Look again. And the truth shall make you what? Free. It releases you. That's what RU is about, right? It sets you free. When you need nothing but Christ, you don't need what the world offers. And the world is always offering something that's an alternative to Christ. Now you stop and consider, what is it that drives you crazy when somebody is trying to get your attention to sell a product? What kind of product? Anybody? Huh? Car? Okay. What else? Liquor? All right. Anybody else? What's that? Clothes? Oh, cologne. Perfume? Okay. All right. There. What's that? Now, these other things, you know, when you've got people that are out there doing the craziest stuff to try to show you that if you step outside without us, the bombs are going to drop. The world will split in half underneath your feet and you are doomed. Unless you come with Progressive. Or Mercury. You know, it's just something, that's one of those things that's like, oh my soul, you know, come on. We are free from sin. Now, by the way, can I mention something? Please, nobody walk out of here and go, Pastor Rogers doesn't believe in insurance. I have car insurance. Okay? I have AAA, right, Ed? Amen. And I got it renewed too. So to know truth is to know its impact. You can now live Christ, and in doing so, the law is kept. But look at truth's path. It's Christ's path. If ye continue in my word, then are ye, literally in this doctrine of mine, then are ye my followers, my disciples, my learners. Indeed. In other words, what we learn, we will learn him. How does Christ love? You follow Him. You keep His commandments. And this is what you learn. Sadly, when it comes to knowing these things, I don't know about you, but when it comes to knowing these things, when it comes to living these things, you know what winds up being my greatest challenge? Me. I'm going to get up tomorrow morning and immediately I need to die to self. Self doesn't want to read the Bible. Self doesn't want to do what's right. Self needs to die. And seriously, you know, you ever get tempted to be discouraged? There are times it's like, okay, Lord, listen, I'm going to sit myself down because I have really let myself down because I tempted myself to do something, not do something, whatever, and I went for it. And there it is. You know, it can be something innocuous, but it's like, remember when we were talking about on Wednesday night, on a couple of weeks ago on Wednesday night, our biggest challenge is not always between good and bad. It can be between good and best. I can do something that's good. But if the Lord had something else to do for me that was His best, I look back and I go, you know what? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Forgive me. And we can do that. So we wind up being our greatest challenge. 2 points, and then we're done. Number one, write this down. When it comes to truth, reality, reality. The reality of truth. Truth's importance is not hard to find. Now, again, truth, and I'm going to keep going into this. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit here. When it comes to, for instance, like electricity, you need to know truth, don't you? If you are working with live wire, right, Roger? If you're working with live wire, and you say, well, I'm not sure exactly what's going on in here, but I'm sincere. They'll find you with that sincere look on your face as they carry you out feet first. But you were sincere. You know, and that can happen in so many other things. You can be sincere in trying to do a good job, but unless you go, you know, A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, and complete each of those. I took my truck in one time to get the brakes worked on over at Les Schwab. And Les Schwab, they do good stuff. But anyway, I had this done just before we went camping. Now, we don't camp, we glamp. Okay? So, got the truck, picked up the trailer, and pulled it all the way over to Fort Bragg and stayed at McCarricker up there. Great time. Got back in the truck, hooked up the trailer, drove all the way home and unhooked the trailer and parked the truck. The next day, the very next day, we're just, you know, getting ready to come back to work. The very next day, I get in the truck. I'm driving. I drive to church, drive home. I'm going down the hill on Wallerga, and my foot goes to the floor. And it's like, I have got to stop this thing. Now, that's when I had the manual transmission on my 98. So I'm gearing down. I pull in to Les Schwab. I said, man, what in the world happened? The guy that worked on the brakes forgot to tighten up a certain screw. The whole time we were driving in the hills, in the mountains, with the trailer, going there and coming back, I am slowly bleeding those brakes to death. Now, I'm sure the guy was sincere that worked on the brakes, but he could have killed us. So, when it comes to the reality of truth, we need to recognize that when God says, this needs to be here, it needs to be here. And that's where, I don't know, again, I don't know about you, but I get myself in trouble. But just sometimes we, you know, it doesn't seem all that important. Listen to this. Truth's importance, and take these down, truth's importance is not hard to find in Scripture. I've got several passages here, but I'll just read a few. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. Psalm 91:4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Proverbs 3:3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Proverbs 16:6. By mercy and truth iniquity is purged. John 1:17. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 4:24. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then again, John 14:6. Jesus, I am the way, the, and the life. John 17:17. When Christ was praying for us, literally, the Lord's Prayer, He said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There is such a thing as absolute truth. Forgive me, there's times, I wish my kids were here a little bit more, because they would remind me if I use an illustration a little too much. When my wife and I were in Bible college, this pastor was talking about how he was speaking in chapel. He was on an airplane, and there was a guy behind him that was talking to this businessman, how many of you remember hippies? Anybody here, you were a hippie? Because we've had Tom Gentry, our missionary, to Romania, he was a hippie. It was great, you know, great. Anyway, so this guy is, you know, just for the lack of a better term, he was a hippie, and he's talking to this businessman. And he's talking to this businessman, in fact, about the fact that there is no absolute truth in the world. Well, this guy, you know, he's a pastor. And that's just, you know, he's reading his Bible, and these guys are talking good and loud, and it's like, okay, I've heard enough. So he gets up, turns around in his seat, takes his Bible, and says, I've got news for you. There is truth, absolute truth, and I'm holding it in my hand. Well, this hippie starts saying, no, there are no absolutes, period. There is nothing that is really certain, no matter what. And he looked at the guy and he said, Mister, is this plane flying? And he said, I don't know. So he looked at the businessman and said, Mister, is this plane flying? Well, now the businessman is feeling bad for his newfound friend. So he says, well, I don't know. So the pastor looks across the aisle and says, hey, buddy, are you as dumb as these two? Is this plane flying? He said, buddy, this plane is flying. There are absolutes. By the way, are these lights shining? That's right. That's right. Absolutely. You've got to be careful with Brad. He watches, old, what was that, Twilight Zone, Twilight Zone. There we go. Twilight Zone. Okay. Truth. Write this down. Truth is what corresponds with reality. Truth is what corresponds to reality. By the way, anybody else, if they start giving their brand of truth, to them, it's reality. Their reality. This is where we've got to stop and consider and praise God for this. We don't make up our truth. Thy word is truth. What we do is we rightly divide the truth. Now, there will be people that will look at things in Scripture, and on minor issues, there might be a diversion here or there. But when it comes to the fundamentals of the faith, that's why we call ourselves fundamentalists. I was on a conference call this last Thursday, and there was a group. We were great people. We were talking about what was taking place. It was the group that we have about every week, every other week. We have a conference call. Sometimes we have a lot of people. This time there was just seven of us, and we're talking about what took place with this ACR 99 and this chaplain from Azusa Pacific that basically turned his back on biblical truth. I was the only pastor on the conference call. It was a video conference. And so, you know, they said, hey, pastor, you know, what do you think about this? And I was giving them, you know, our view of this. And I said, look, we are an independent, fundamental Baptist church. We believe in the fundamentals of the faith. By the way, we believe in the fundamentals of the faith. So when it comes to truth, we do not get up and say, well, whatever your opinion is. No, we don't do that. Truth corresponds with reality. Absolute truth is undeniable. It's absolutely undeniable. But Satan comes along, who is the liar. John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. He's a liar and the father of it, Jesus says. Now, what truth is not? Number one, truth is not what works. It's not just, you know, what works. Sometimes a lie can work. You believe, you know, you tell a lie enough and people will follow you if that's what you want. But eventually, it's going to fall apart. Truth is not what works, and truth is not what feels good. It is not. Truth is what corresponds to reality. The doctrines of the devil, and this is why we teach and preach this, the doctrines of the devil are the ones that are teaching the cults. Mike, you mentioned, you know, look how far, you know, the cults have gotten from America. You were talking about how the JWs and the Mormons are out there, even in these places. Every once in a while, just for fun, I like to get on Google Earth and just go to some, you know, remote island. You know, just looking at it, it's like, wow, these people, you know, they live hundreds of miles from another island. And I was looking at this island, I can't remember where it was, and there was a smattering of places where people dwelt. And it was really pretty. And they have different buildings marked. And right there on this little island was a Kingdom Hall. Now they had, you know, another church, I think maybe a couple of other churches, but I thought, you know, they're out there. And it's just another way to teach people. This is how you can try to work your way to heaven. And the world is filled with it. The world is absolutely filled with it. When the soldier girds himself, he does it to bring himself stability and security. That's what holds this whole thing together, his girdle of truth. So there's the reality. Very quickly, number two, the readiness. The Greek word that translates truth can also refer to the attitude of truth. Now hear that out. Not just truth itself, but the attitude of truth. See, we are to gird ourselves about in an attitude of total truthfulness. Just as the serious runner takes off every unnecessary piece of clothing before the race, the serious soldier tucks in every loose piece of clothing in his girdle before he goes into battle. Stop and consider what Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. There are entanglements that we can have in life, can't we? When there are things that take place, when there are things that woo us and we wind up getting involved in them, and they take us away from what God has called us to, there's an entanglement. Many years ago, we had a family here, and good people, wonderful people. He retired, and all of a sudden he had the opportunity to go into real estate. That was it. They were gone for the weekend. Why? Because so many real estate agents work on the weekend. But you know, you praise God when you hear about people that do work even like that, and you don't have to do that. Honey, what was the name of the gentleman from Santa Maria? Roy Ormsby. There was a fella, Roy Ormsby, just a tremendous man of God, tremendous man of God. He used to sing Ship Ahoy. Boy, I mean he could sing it. But he made his money, and they made a lot of money in real estate. But he determined he was not going to work on Sunday. He's going to church. He's going to worship. That's just the way it is. One time he was telling me, and not bragging, seriously, elderly gentleman, good man. He said one time, guy called me. He wanted me to show this property. And this was back in the 70s. If he went on Sunday with this gentleman and sold this property, he would have made, and again, this is in the 70s, $30,000. He says, no, I'm not going to do it. Yeah, but no, I'm just not going to do it. So the guy went with another gentleman. And that guy made, didn't matter. You know, God blessed him. God blessed him. If you go to North Valley, they have buildings there and structure and such, you know, some things. There was a lady there that not only was she not work on Sunday, but she also wouldn't work on Saturday, because even though she was a very, very popular and successful real estate agent, she wouldn't work on Saturday because that's when she worked on her bus route. She literally made millions. And again, this is not right now. This is back in the 70s and 80s and 90s. That's how they got their property down there in Santa Clara. It was through her. I don't know how much that she gave. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But she was very successful. But on Saturday, she's doing her bus route. Sunday, she's worshiping the Lord. You know, there are just some things that I understand. There are some people that have to work on Sunday. But you know, if we wind up getting too entangled, if we wind up getting entangled with things in this world, I mean, is the Lord really going to, you know, when we stand before Him, say, congratulations on making that sale? You think that's going to happen? I don't think so. Truth is essential. In closing, Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. Earlier in Proverbs 3, he had written this, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Truth is what corresponds to reality, not as the world sees it, but as the Lord is it in Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see he who is full of grace and truth. Lord, I pray that truth would be so important to us that it would absolutely guide us. We would embrace it. And when he who is truth speaks to us and tells us his commands and shows them to us in his word, may our passion be to obey. Because as we have learned, he has said, if you love me, keep my commandments. I pray that we would do so. Lord, if there's anyone here that struggles with truth, if there's anyone here that struggles possibly with a lie that Satan has successfully gotten them to believe, I pray that they would passionately look into your word, because indeed thy word is truth, and it will expose the lies. Pray that you would bless the food and our fellowship next door. Lord, thank you for this day. I pray that this week we would see the results of what your truth has done in us today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.